We're on our journey. We are on week number 3 of our series about behold or look. And we've been using a scripture and using a text in Luke 2 where it found the angels, found actually the shepherds out in the field, and the angels declared the good news. And so far we've learned a little bit about hope. We've learned a little bit about peace. But today there's another truth that the angels declared while they were the shepherds were out in the field. And I want us to lean into this truth because it's an integral truth. If you were looking at one of Paul's writings in Romans 14, it would say that it was like a third of the kingdom, this truth. So this morning, before we get into the question that I want to ask you, the title of our message is this: good news and great joy. Because this morning, if you need some joy, today's your day. You're in the right place because we're leaning into Scripture, and today joy abounds. And it's not just a simple joy. It's not just a small joy. It's not for the basketball fans. I lost Ose. It's not just not too small, but actually it is a great joy. But before we get into our Scripture, I want to ask you this question, making sure that you're awake on this cold, wintry day. How many in this place have a favorite Christmas movie? Show of hands. Why not, just making sure we're just back at home, we're coming home for Christmas, can someone yell out their favorite Christmas movie? Okay, hey, I heard that one. I think that was Tim. Die Hard was up there. I believe that's a Christmas movie. It's okay. Okay, we got some other ones. We've got Elf, we've got Home Alone. But for me, other than Home Alone, my family tradition every Christmas, you can see him on my shirt, is Elf. Every once in a while, and amongst all the busyness and chaos that comes, I just need a good laugh. Anybody else can join along, you need a good laugh sometimes. And so for me, a little bit of laughter happens when I watch Elf. Jen jokes, she says, I can tell when you're watching it because she said you giggle like a little kid. She said, you start there all serious, and then by the time it's over, she said, I can just see you sort of chuckling in there, laughing a little bit. And if you've never watched Elf, it's a silly movie, it's a foolish movie, but it is funny. And in those moments, it's about this account of this grown man, Buddy, who ends up thinking that he's an elf, and he's filled with, in his mind, Christmas cheer. And he comes back to New York City, and he's carrying all this joy, all this happiness, and he's jumping around and building things inside of the stores. And everything that he comes around, he starts to notice that there's all this chaos, all this sadness, all this anger. As he's filled with joy, as he's filled with happiness, as he's filled with all of these different emotions and feelings, everyone else around him is starting to get upset at him because he's different. He carries something different with him. He has this famous line that the greatest way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. And in those moments, we hear of that, but everyone's pushing him down and pushing him to the side. But he doesn't give up. Instead, he just keeps walking boldly with his internal joy that just spreads throughout. And by the end of the movie, we see a whole group. I know I'm a spoiler alert. But by the end of the movie, you see the whole group around that was all filled, and the one guy who's just miserable, looks like he's been having lemonades without the sugar. The whole journey, and by the end, he begins to sing. And you can say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with us this morning? Because I think sometimes, even inside of the church, don't look to the person next to you because it's not them. Sometimes we forget that we are actually supposed to be a joy-filled people. We're actually supposed to be carriers and bringers and sharers of the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And even from the very beginning, the announcement that Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, was born, the angels said this great truth that we're about to read about in Luke 2, verse 8 through 11. And this is what it said. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. The first thing that they learn in angel school is this. You see it throughout Scripture. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will do what? It will bring great joy to who? All people. If you've got your Bible this morning, I want you to underline that. Because one of the first announcements to a people that were in waiting, that were people that were in distress, that were people that were going through the hustle and bustle, the chaos of life, right from the words of the angels declaring of who Jesus was, he says, he is going to bring great joy, not small joy, but great joy, not to a select few, not just to the rich, not just to the poor, but to all. It continues on. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. I want us to go back a chapter, though, because joy doesn't just begin there, but there is a truth that occurs just even with the coming. And before Jesus is born, we hear of a story of a carrier of joy, a carrier of a great hymn that, or carol, which would be truly the joy to the world. So we want to talk a little bit about Mary. And also a little bit about a journey of what happens when joy comes into the scene. So if you wouldn't mind, we're going to read a large portion of text here. You're okay this morning for that? Good, because we're going to do it either way. So starting in verse 26 of Luke 1, it says this. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings," or "rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, for his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Verse 36. "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." That's a big ask. And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." So this morning, we want to talk about the truth that you and I, in a different way, but in a similar way, are called to be carriers of a great joy. We're not called just to know of a great joy. We are actually called to carry and to share and to embody a joy that changes everything. But there is a truth that we must encounter, a problem that we must diagnose. And that truth can be summed up in this first point. We have to choose to not let our Grinches steal your joy. Can you just imagine for a second how the shepherds felt, or how Mary and even Elizabeth felt? Can you imagine once you get by that fear? Because in those moments, angels show up, they start declaring these truths. You're just going about your everyday business out in a field, or you're a young teenage girl, just doing your journey. You're walking through, you're engaged, but nothing has occurred. And now an angel shows up and says, "Don't freak out. I've got some news for you." And shares the news that you're about to carry the Savior of the world. You're about to carry the Messiah. I know most of us would be like, "That's no big deal, no reason to freak out." But can you imagine being a teenager You know that 1 + 1 usually equals another one. But in those moments, you know that that has not occurred. So now you're carrying this weight, this tension of what are people going to say, what are going to do, how is this all going to play out? But you know in your heart, as what she said, it's all true. Make what you have said true of my life and through my life. She's about to truly carry the joy of the world. Before the carol, she's carrying the one who truly is joy. Joy for our life now, in the present, in the past, and to come. And as Elizabeth, who was barren or perceived to be barren, now she's carrying this promise. She's carrying John. And as Jesus enters in, we even see the truth that John recognizes within the womb, and he leaps for joy, because when joy comes in and we realize the truth of joy, it starts to spring up joy within. So we have these moments, but if we're honest with ourselves, would joy be something that you're known for? Would joy always be what our churches are known for? Would joy be how we're known in our workplaces or schools? If it isn't, then maybe along the line somewhere a Grinch has come in and stolen it. Because the truth from Scripture is that we were created and called to be carriers of joy, to be filled with and share great joy. But it doesn't come from just happenstance. Most of us, when we think of joy, we're actually talking about happiness. But happiness is based on our experiences. Happiness is based on what's happening around you. But joy is something within. But what are some Grinches that try and steal your joy this Christmas? What are some Grinches that maybe tried to steal Mary's joy? Because can you think about her journey for just a second? We sort of open it up and we know it as a narrative. We know it from Scripture. We know when we open the Bible, we're like, oh, how this is how the story is going to end. But could you imagine the feelings, the worry, the fear, the doubt that would have crept into her life when she had to go and tell Joseph? Joseph, I had a visitor last night. And he told me that I'm pregnant. And that I'm going to carry a baby, and it's kind of yours, but it's not yours. Can you imagine having that conversation today? I'm sure somebody would be saying, let me spill the tea. Let me tell you some stuff. Because in those moments, there'd be all these different feelings. Can you imagine the hustle and bustle that is exploding around the streets, even as it starts, this baby bump starts to go, and Joseph's like, don't worry, it's mine, but it's not mine, but we never slept together. I'm sure. Imagine telling the parents. It's a miracle. We didn't do anything that we weren't supposed to do. It's not mine. It's sort of hers, but it's not. Let's try to explain this. The parents in that moment are probably like, just come on now. And sometimes we get a little bit uptight about this, and I know I can see in a few eyes, they're like, Pastor, what are you talking about? No, the Scripture's real. Mary was a young teenage girl who an angel visited, and she's freaking out, and it says, don't be terrified. We've got good news of great joy for you. You're going to carry the joy of the world through your life and through the one that you're about to carry. Everything is about to change, but you're going to walk a hard journey. Because most of the people around into that time are not going to believe you and are not going to believe the one that you're carrying. But you can't let the Grinches steal your joy, because we need you to carry the joy of the world so that he truly can bring joy to the world. She goes to the one who would actually believe her story. Gets to Elizabeth, the one who was known to be or perceived to be barren, who now has this miracle happening. And as he comes in, Elizabeth rises up and says, oh, you favored woman of God. Oh, I see it. I can sense it. I know it. You're carrying the Messiah. Well, how do you know? How do you know, Elizabeth? How do you know that this is all true? Oh, because the same way that God did a miracle in you, he did a miracle in me. And I know inside of my womb right now, the baby inside is leaping for joy, because joy has entered the room. In those moments, The hustle, the bustle, the feelings, the discouragement, the words spoken about Mary as she would walk down the street, the things that were trying to be Grinches, the someone or the something that's trying to steal her joy, isn't a lot different than the Grinches that still happen today to try to steal yours and I's joy. Do we still battle with fear, hurt, busyness, wrong beliefs? Do they ride into town, kind of like the Grinch before he had a new heart, ride into town with his little dog, hoping to take all the presents from Whoville? Do you have some people that are around you in your day, or some things that are against your life or around your life, that when they come into the room, you're like, oh, here it comes? I saw some of you looking at each other. Don't do that. But it's in those moments, we all have Grinches, we all have fears, we all have hurts, we all have wrong beliefs, and along the journey, they're trying to steal the joy. But we have to be reminded that it's not about our happenstance, it's not about what's happening to us. Luke 2 was bringing a truth to our lives, that he's sharing a good news, and that new good news is that great joy is available to all. That even today, if the Grinch is sitting next to you and is trying to steal your joy, trying to fill your mind with doubt, discouragement, hopelessness, trying to steal your peace, you don't have to lose your joy, because it is not determined by what happens around you. True joy and the joy to the world is all about the one who has already come to bring joy, to restore joy, and that is an eternal promise. That today you and I don't have to worry about having a little bit of joy, but we are called to actually be filled with great joy, a great joy that overflows, a great joy that fills, a great joy that spreads out from us. Church, we should be the most joy-filled people on this planet, because we've encountered the true joy to the world. That's the call of the church. That's even the truth of Advent, that we have a joy past, present, and future. That even in the seasons where it doesn't feel very joyous, just like Buddy the Elf walking through New York City, we should not be determined by what we read on the news or what's happening in sort of our governmental areas. Yes, we have to take knowledge to some of those things, but it shouldn't steal your joy, because that is not the kingdom that will last. The kingdom that will last forever is Christ's kingdom, and there is a promise that he will rule and reign, and he will rule with peace, he will rule with hope, he will rule with joy, and that's what we stand on. My foundation is not built on a bill that will pass or a bill that won't pass. Yes, I got to take note to some of those things, but the truth and the hope and the joy of my life is not found on what someone in this place can do. My hope and my joy and my peace is found in none other than Jesus Christ. And that's how we have to walk our lives. That's why when everything's falling apart, that's why when we see Peter and Paul and some of the early church, when they were going through what seemed like hell, they said, I count it all joy to be persecuted. I count it all joy. It doesn't make sense, because joy in a tough season doesn't make sense, because what it does is it shines a light on a God who is greater. And that's what he's challenging you and me to do. But how do we do that? How can we have joy this Christmas? How can we truly be a joy to the world and realize that we already have experienced a joy in our world? We move to the second truth. There's three things that can help us to have joy in our world this Christmas, and why we can have them. The first one is this. We have joy, and we can have joy because our joy is not found in us. Our joy is found in him. Joy is not found in a present under a tree, but in a promised gift from heaven. He is Emmanuel. Our source of joy is not in what we have or what we don't have. Don't get me wrong, a new fishing rod or a boat would be fantastic under a tree. It's great. There would be temporarily happiness, and there would be a little bit of joy, but it's not a joy that is coming and going. It's in those moments, or it is a joy that comes and goes. But true joy that remains, a joy that is a fruit of the Spirit that never goes in and out of season, comes from Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He walks with us through tough times. He's the one who is God with us, God with us in our tears, God with us in our questions, God with us in our celebrations, God with us in all the days ahead. That's what we stand on, and that's why we can have joy. Joy isn't something we chase or achieve, even though our world would say it is. It's someone we welcome and receive. Joy isn't based on what is around you. Joy is based on what God is doing in you. If God is working on your heart, then joy should be lifting up. We see these truths in Scripture. Hebrew 12, verse 1 to 3, Psalm 16 to 11 reads this, but John 15, 11 is what I want to read to you this morning. It'll pop up there, I think, behind me. But this is what it said. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with whose joy? Yeah, speaking of him. He says, I've told you these things so that you would be filled with his joy, not our joy. And yes, your joy will overflow. That's a promise. The joy that we're called to walk with, the joy that's to be our strength, the joy that will help us get through today and tomorrow and the tough seasons is not what you can do on your own. The joy is the Lord. That is the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is his joy that has come. Jesus has come to bring us joy, to restore our joy, and that is his pleasure. We see that throughout Scripture. And if we would walk in it, we're not called to have a little bit of joy, but we're called, like the angel said to the early shepherds, you're called to have a great joy that moves us to action, that fills us to overflowing, that's not just enough to get through the day, but when we realize what he's done and what he's done in my life and what he's called me to do through my life, it should fill you even in the darkest of days to say, my joy in him is made complete and full because of who he is. Even another little tidbit. Maybe you're a little bit of a Bible geek like me and like these little nuggets. We see this truth that Jesus is full and overflowing with joy. And we see in Hebrews, we actually see in Hebrews 1:9, God has anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness. You know what gladness actually meant in the original language? It meant to leap or to jump. So, let's put two and two together with the story. The Father has anointed the Son with the oil of gladness. He wasn't a boring person, okay? Jesus didn't walk around always all stuffy. He was a fun guy, walking on water. I'm sure he moonwalked across it. Okay, he was a fun guy. Turned the water into wine. There was a joy that was upon him, the joy of the Father. He was anointed with the oil of joy for gladness, that in tough seasons, but that word gladness meant to leap or to jump for joy. When Jesus comes in, even at the very beginning, in his mother's womb, okay, in Mary's womb, what happened when Jesus came near? John leapt for joy. When Jesus enters the scene, when Jesus invades earth, when heaven invades earth, joy and a great joy comes and it changes everything. And it causes what was dormant, it causes what was asleep to wake up and to jump forth. And it's the same truth for our lives, that he's anointed us even in our broken seasons with gladness and joy, not based on our happenstance, not based on what's going on around us, but based on the one who dwells within us. Second truth that we can move to even this morning is this. Joy is available for all. It's joy to all the world. I love who he showed up to, because in many parts of my life, I sometimes feel like the shepherd. You know, the one who's not in the suit and ties, who's wearing an elf shirt, who's walking through maybe a little bit in the back doing the work. Okay to get a little bit, you know, dirty and messy and be like, hey, it's a good job done. In those moments, sort of the shepherds were pushed to the side. They had an important job, but many overlooked them. The angels don't come and bring the news of good news, of great joy, to the ones that everybody would expect. He brought it to the ones that everyone kind of pushed to the side. The good news and the great joy was for everybody, but he was showing that truth and cementing that truth that it wasn't just for the high religious people. It wasn't just for this background or that background. It wasn't just for this culture or that culture. He was literally saying to the ones that everyone pushes to the back, I see you, and I want you to be the carriers of the joy that's going to change everything. Today, if you feel like you can't have joy, your circumstances, your life, your background, whatever that blank is for you, be reminded today that the angels found the shepherds. He brought them to see Jesus, and he used them to be his evangelist, sharing the good news of great joy to everyone around them. Today, no matter how you've believed about yourself, what someone has said about you, maybe your whole life has been, I've lived in this wrong happenings. Everything has always been against me. I can't have joy, Pastor. You don't know my story. I may not know your story. And that trauma and those hurts, they're real. And this is not to make it small. But this is the hope that we find in Jesus now, present, but also in the future, that he's coming to bring joy, and he comes to restore joy. The brokenness of our world, because we know our world is not as it should be or shall be, but that joy of Advent is that he's come, oh, but he's coming again to rule and to reign, to bring joy to our lives, joy to the world. That's the truth. How many remember that carol, Joy to the World? Can you show my hands, make sure you're still awake? If you don't, like, we got to get you out. In that Joy to the World, there is a course and there is a part. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the, then far as the curse is found. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. So say to your neighbor, say, neighbor. He's talking about there. Say, neighbor, he's talking about there. So as far as the curse is found, to the left, to the right, to the north, to the south, as far as we would see that, all the way back to Genesis 3:15, as far as the curse of sin coming into our world, Jesus, the joy to the world, when he came, when he died, when he rose, no longer do we have to walk in the curse of sin, but instead we can walk in the new life, in the joy and the gladness of a Savior, of a Messiah who came to change everything. As far as the curse is found, so no matter if you believe that you are the one who has been cursed, if someone has cursed you, I want to tell you, he wants to make his blessings, his love, his salvation flow in your life, through your life, and around your life, for as far as that curse is found, for as long as eternity is. That is the truth of why we can walk in joy, because he has come. And it's for all. There is power in that statement that we often sing. His blessings flow as far as the curse is found. So every time that you feel that you can't walk in his joy, you can't walk in the truth of his salvation as your Savior, as your Messiah, remember, oh, it's under his foot. He is the fulfillment of the plan that the Father and the Trinity had in place before the foundation of this earth. That when sin came in, Jesus was not the secondary plan. He was always a part of God's perfect plan. That as far as the curse of sin was found, oh, there would be redemption. Now and forevermore. And his name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And that's why we can have joy. But it doesn't even stop there. Say to your neighbor, because this is again, say to your neighbor, say, it's not done. Say to your other neighbor, say, he's still going for about 5 minutes. Number C is this, his joy is increasing and eternal. Isaiah 9, verse 3 to 6, it says this. I'll give you verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms of the blood stained by the war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. The joy that he is talking about, the joy that the angels declared, the joy that Mary was carrying in her womb is a joy that is always increasing. It is a great joy. It's not a small joy. It's not a joy that's going to run out. It's actually increasing in abundance. It's actually expanding at all times as we move closer to the final day of his kingdom coming. That's a part of Advent, as we celebrate his kingdom come, but we look forward to his kingdom coming, that his kingdom will rule forever and ever. All the injustice of our world will be made right. The hope of our world will be in front of us. Peace will come, joy will come, and our world will be as it should be and it shall be. That's the truth that is always growing. Every single day, your joy should be increasing. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Kind of sounds like great joy. His joy is so great and it should be overflowing in us. And what should that joy look like? What should our joy even look like in even tough seasons? It should be like the joy of a great harvest. During a tough season, when everything around you is prophecy back to the days of Isaiah, when everything around them is falling apart, they start to erupt as if it was a great harvest had come forth. That's the joy of our lives, that we would see that it was like a harvest came in, that in the seasons of oppression, when the rod was upon your back, someone has come in and his name is Jesus and he's broken the rod and he's removed and he's brought freedom to your life. And I don't know about you, but if you remember your journey before the cross, and some of us need to remember that journey, remember what he took us from and where he's placed us now, and actually have the freedom and the joy of the Lord rise up in us, because we know the brokenness of who we were, the hurt and the weight that was on our shoulders, but now there's freedom because he's actually lifted that weight off of us. That's what he's saying. Can you imagine being in the midst of a war, being in the midst of oppression, and in the moment saying, I'm free? It would look a little bit more than church being like, with the T-Rex arms. One of the things that an elf, he always got made fun of, was he'd just sing for all to hear. He'd walk with joy, even when things were going bad, when someone would make fun of him, someone would say something mean about him. He's like, oh, that's not going to steal my joy. Do we do the same thing? And we don't have a Christmas cheer. We have the true joy, the joy of the Lord. The joy is increasing. The one is like for the harvest. The one that's released the weight off of our shoulders. The one whose victory will never be taken away. That's why they would burn all the war clothes. That's why they would put it all in the pile. They were saying, you know what? Freedom and victory has come. We're not going back to war. We have a day where there will no longer be that war. There will no longer be that tension, but he will come in his fullness. His joy is increasing, and that joy in our lives should be displayed in how we live our lives. It should be like, I get to come to church, yes! I get to share the good news of great joy to my neighbor. I get to do those things instead of like, Pastor, you're making me do that again this week? No, it should be like, yes, I get to go and do this. This is the greatest news. Did you know what he did in my life and what he did through my life? This is so amazing that I get to partner with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I get to partner with the Messiah. That's the joy that he's speaking of. That's the joy of the season. And the question we have to reflect on, is that the joy that we carry? Through our lives, are we singing loud for all to hear? Are we spreading the joy that we've received when Jesus came, when he died, and when he rose again? Because ultimately, that's the challenge that he gives us with the Great Commission. Freely we have received, so freely we should give. We've received his joy. It's become our strength. Are we going to walk in that joy and share it with others? When the shepherds were overcome with the news, they went and saw Mary. They went and saw Jesus. Verse 17, I'm not going to read to you. Verse 17 to 21, it caused them to go. They were filled with joy. And they were filled with wonder, so they go and look for the baby. They find Jesus and their hearts are transformed. They're filled with a joy overflowing, and it moves them to run and to go and share the good news. Is the joy of the Lord in your life causing you to run to others and say, I've got good news? Oh, and it's great joy for your life. Is it causing you to believe that? Is it causing and filling you to overflowing that you can't help but share that? That's the call of Advent. That's the call of Christmas. That's the call all year round, is we've been filled with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Will we share it? So how do we do that? Let's get practical very quickly. How do we find great joy this Christmas? First one, as the team gets ready to come, spend time with Jesus. Let him clothe and fill us with gladness. Let the joy and gladness rub off on us like it did with John. There's a whole bunch of scriptures that I'm going to read off real fast. Psalm 30, verse 11. Psalm 16, 11. Isaiah 61, 3. And then the scripture we just read, Luke 1, 41 to 44. If you spend time with Jesus, if you're like, Pastor, I'm more like that guy you were talking about at the beginning, the one who sucked on the lemon without the sugar, that's what I'm known for. Spend a little time with Jesus. Get in the Word. Let his oil of gladness rub off on you. Let it change you. Let it transform you. Let it soften you. As you do that, he will start to bring joy to your life and to your heart. For some in this place, maybe you have to make the decision to believe on that joy, to ask him into your life, to truly make him your Savior, your Messiah. Because in that, it changes everything. But joy is not easy. Joy is a daily choice of circling it every day. How many know that sometimes life is hard? I want to challenge you this week, when it's hard, maybe you need to write joy on a piece of paper, and when you're about to lose it, circle it. And then when you're about to lose it again, circle it again. You might need a few pieces of paper. But choose joy. Spend time with Jesus, and daily and momentarily, circle it. Number two, remember your journey. He has taken us from darkness to light. Jesus has and will always overcome in our lives. He brought what kind of news, church? Yeah, good news. Oh, of great joy. In your life, he brought good news. Someone brought good news to you, and it changed the news report. Remember that. Remember your journey. Remember those moments when people said this and you believed the wrong beliefs, when you let hurt and discouragement run your life, but you encountered the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it changed. Changed how you saw yourself. Changed how you saw others. Remember the journey and let that good news transform you like it was always meant to. Number three, make a list and check it. Because he comes to make his blessings flow. Count your blessings. Count your blessings this week, no matter how big or small, and put your focus back on Jesus, what he's done and what he's saying he will do. So I want you to write a few of these things down this week. It may be as simple as, you know what, my car started today. Write it down. You know, the simple next one might be, I have heated seats. Praise Jesus. Write the small things down and write the big things down. And when you're struggling to find your joy, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. There's some truth in those. Count them. Let his joy begin to build inside of you. Last but not least, sing loud for all to hear. The elf, Buddy the Elf, put it great. The greatest way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loudly for all to hear. Scripturally, this is the truth. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your joy overflow, as 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, or Psalm 98, 2 through 9 would tell us. When it's tough, rejoice. When it's easy, rejoice. When it seems unbearable, rejoice. When you're at the mountaintop, rejoice. In all seasons, rejoice. When we do that, we turn our focus to Jesus, and it starts to change, because he is our strength. He is our provision, and ultimately, he is our joy. The season isn't about a movie. It isn't about a present. It's about his presence. It's about Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace, the hope of glory, and our true joy. the joy that has come, the joy that's coming. Let's rest in His joy, a joy that will be complete in us and overflow through us. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in His joy this Christmas. Amen.